So,
anyway, so the devotees told me I was going to hell and I was going to be living underground, and Kali Yuga was coming very quickly, and I was going to be as short as this, whatever, living underground, eating human flesh, unless I moved in the temple that day. They didn't tell me it was going to be a few hundred thousand years before that happened. They just said Kali Yuga is coming. Yeah. Anyway, it's like those cults that tell you the end of the world is coming. What is it called, the millenarian cults or something like that? So, what's that? It's all right. I'm all right. Oh, he wants to give some water to Mr. Shatrabhu. So anyway, so we had basic training in Krishna consciousness. It's kind of tough. But I did learn that the whole basis of a disciple's life is the pleasure of the spiritual master. I mean, I'm very thankful. In retrospect, I wasn't thankful then. You understand? Retrospect, looking back. At that time, I was thinking, how can I get the hell out of here? But in retrospect, I'm actually thankful because I was trained up that we should learn to work for Prabhupada's pleasure. And so that's really kept me going. I would say that that's the one thing that's kept me going all these years. Through, you know, so many of ISKCON's up and downs and interesting situations, which I can't mention. I mean, I've seen everything in ISKCON. I've seen everything from the inside of an insane asylum, and that was in ISKCON temple. But, sometimes, you know, people just, anyway, to basically everything. I've met all sorts of devotees. I've traveled around the world. No, some good things too. So, I'm making this fun, you know, because we have an audience who always want to be a humorist. So, but anyway, I mean, so whenever there were like trials or tribulations, I'm famous for knocking water over. So, whenever there were, maybe you can put it on top of here, because I'd be less likely to knock it over. Whenever there were trials or tribulations, I always would go back to the point, what would please Prabhupada? You know, that was always like the standard thing that was in my mind. When making a decision or dealing with any situation, I would think, what decision would please Prabhupada? You know, what way that I would decide would please Prabhupada? And so that really kept me going, that initial Guror Hitam type of thing. And then, so that's always been like that with me, fortunately. And so then when Prabhupada left the planet, in 1977, actually I had been put on the sannyas list in 1977 before Prabhupada left the planet. I think I was, And then, but I was in Los Angeles when Prabhupada left the planet. It was a very traumatic experience for all of us. Like Prabhupada also said, when the spiritual master leaves, the disciples should cry. And it was so traumatic for everyone, just telling you what happened in Los Angeles, that when we were informed that Prabhupada left, everyone was so traumatized they couldn't cry immediately. Sometimes it's like that when you have a super traumatic thing happening, that it takes a while for it to sink in, that something has happened, or, I mean, even sometimes when you hurt, you cut yourself, you look down, and finally you see that you actually cut yourself, you don't feel the pain immediately. I've seen that with a chainsaw. Yeah, that sometimes you wound it, and then you look down, hey, I'm bleeding. So it was like that when we were formed. It was actually early in the morning in Los Angeles time. One thing that was very traumatic before that was that we were told, you know, the ordinary devotees, we were told when Prabhupada asked the devotees to be with him, he wanted all the devotees to be with him, but we weren't told that. We were told that Prabhupada just wanted the devotees he knew, you know, the personal, close people he knew. And that was actually quite traumatic that, you know, we were told, many of us were told, I don't know if you had that experience, that, you know, Prabhupada really didn't want everybody. But Prabhupada did want everybody. He even said he didn't mind if the temples closed down for some time so that everybody could be with him. You know, because one of the GBCs said to Prabhupada, but then everything will stop. And Prabhupada said, that's okay. You know, so Prabhupada really wanted us all with him at those final moments. But anyway, that was one instruction from Prabhupada that was not really carried out. So that's why I was in Los Angeles and a lot of other devotees were in Los Angeles, other places around the world rather than with Prabhupada. So then I was told by Ramaswar, at that time he was Ramaswar Maharaj, to close all the doors of the temple room after the morning program. Don't let anybody out. So I was thinking, oh my God, what's happening here? And then he made the announcement, and then everybody was, you could hear a pin drop in the room because everybody just didn't know what to say. And some people, they started crying, and I didn't cry at that time because it was just so shocking. It actually took until the Sundararti that day, until tears actually came out, and I actually almost collapsed during the Sundararti. You know, because all the devotees, and everybody was crying during the Sundararti that day. It was so intense. Vibo. So, then when that happened, I mean, it took me days to recover, basically, what happened. But still the determination in my mind was that I'm a servant of Prabhupada, and I have to serve Prabhupada's mission, because Prabhupada said, one who serves the mission of the spiritual master can stay on the planet, otherwise the disciples should be ready, I'm paraphrasing the fourth canto, part four, the disciples should be ready to leave the planet with the spiritual master. So then Prabhupada inspired me, and my determination is I have to serve your mission, be dedicated wholly and solely, and nothing else in my mind other than serving you, Srila Prabhupada, and your ISKCON. And so then, of course, I was already recommended for sannyas, but I thought I should accelerate it a little bit. You know, the approval was supposed to take place, I guess, at the next GBC meeting or something like that. And so I started to tell Rita Nandamarsh, who was like my sannyas guru, because he had previously trained me up in Krishna consciousness as a new devotee, and then I was his first brahmachari assistant. I lasted longer with him than anyone else.
You survived.
I survived, you know. I have this t-shirt, you know, I survived. You know. I mean, he would chastise so heavy that he would tell me sometimes, you're not, everybody else is a spirit soul except for you. You are your body. You have no qualification to travel with a sannyasi.
And then, why did
you
do that?
You know, sannyasis then were just like mean and lean and whatever. You know, that's
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
The same sort of aura, not just.
Oh yeah, yeah, but because I was with him, it was worse.
How long did you serve him?
Until he dropped me off in the Chicago temple, because it was too much for me after a while, you know, it was like, you know, I had a need for autonomy, as they say. They dropped me off. Anyway, so while I was traveling with him, actually when we first started traveling, we traveled, this is before Prabhupada left, we traveled in a Volkswagen Bug, and he slept in the back and I slept in the front, with a gear shift. You know what a Volkswagen Bug is?
Yes.
It's like a Yugo, but actually smaller than a Yugo. But anyway, so also when I was traveling with Rita, I just go back before Prabhupada left the planet, another nice devotee joined us. His name was Gyan Sham, who later on became Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, Gyan Sham Prabhu, he actually was like a president of the student body in Princeton. And Rita Nandamarj wanted to talk him out of his what he thought was his pride. So he got it worse than me. And so basically, this is how I learned to cry. Basically, he and I would spend a lot of time embracing each other, comforting each other. It's like if you're in a concentration camp, you know, you take shelter of the other prisoners. Rita Nandamarj hates him when I talk like this. It's therapeutic, though.
Yeah. You're working up.
Yeah. I think so many psychiatrists have this work. You know, I'm being a little dramatic about it. But actually, he did cry, and I just assure him this is purification, Prabhu. Because this was our standard slogan at the beginning of the movement, that anything like pain, disease, problems was always purification. Like when you first joined the movement, you ate so many red peppers that you had digestive problems. That was also purification. Remember that? Yeah. You're getting purified. You go to India and you really get purified a lot. Delhi Belly, Montezuma.
Suffering meant purification.
Yes, suffering meant purification.
Suffering equals purification.
Yeah, that was a, you know, that translate the word suffering equals purification. I'm sure these devotees remember that too. It was an intense time, you know.
So,
you remember that too? It was like, so we really got pure.
You were also purified.
We got a lot of purification. Anyway, getting back to it. So when Prabhupada left the planet, then I sort of, at that time, Nanda Maharaj wasn't so rough and tough anymore. So I went to him and I said, look, I got to take sannyas right away. And fortunately, or unfortunately, there was a problem going on in South America at that time. Two of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada had declared their independence from ISKCON. That was Vara Prakash, who was a sannyasi at that point. He later left his body in an unfortunate way. And Pramana, you may remember them. Anyway, I was working in South America and speaking Spanish and everything, and as well as Los Angeles and the Spanish VBT. So they had declared their country, Venezuela, independent from the International Society of the Krishna Consciousness because they didn't want to accept one of the Magic 11, you know, one of the gurus. They wanted to be gurus on their own. And they had this anti-American sentiment. I mean, that was common, and still is common in Latin America to a certain degree.
I wonder why.
Well, one of the things they hated was actually, we were blameless for one of the things. That when I was in charge of Caracas, Venezuela, we were the number one Sankirtan temple in the world.
Wow.
We defeated Radha Damodar. And then, but I had sent all the money from the Sankirtan to the BBT. So I was accused of taking the Venezuelan money and sending it to America. In one sense, it's true, I got to pay for the books. You know, I didn't send more money than the books would cost. I actually sent the money for the Prabhupada's books. I mean, obviously you got to pay the BBT. And so we sent, 1 month, we sent over $100,000, US dollars, and we had distributed 35,000 Bhagavad Gitas in during the month of December in one city, the Caracas, Venezuela. Anyway, so these devotees just declared their independence. They told Vridananda Maharaj, we don't want any American gurus here. And they started to go to other countries too, to infiltrate other countries like Peru, or Colombia, Central America, other countries there, around there. Ecuador, like that. And so, Vridananda Maharaj declared an emergency, and I thought, it's good there's an emergency, because we need to use the things. No, so I flew down to Peru. Is it working?
It's perfect. 26 people watching. We just have some comments, what people would like to see, so we are fulfilling their wishes.
That's good.
Like a desire treat, you know.
26 people watching, pretty good. So, these are intimate ISKCON memories. You should all forget them after I mention them. Oh, no! No, he's not. That'd be horrible. The phone would burn up.
He would send Vermastra.
Yeah. So what happened? I better be careful what I say. So anyway, but this is ISKCON history. These devotees declared their independence from ISKCON. And I went down to Peru, and I said to Vridananda Maharaj, you know, you should give me sannyas so I can help fight for Prabhupada. And it was a good desire, and I also wanted sannyas. And it happened to be Srivas Thakur's disappearance day. And I said, this is a good day. You know, Srivas Thakur, Narada Muni, you know, things equal to the same thing or equal to each other. You know the logic, whatever logic I had.
Whatever works.
And then he said, well, there's so much preparation, you have to have a dundit and everything like that. And I said, well, I've already prepared it.
I just happened to have it.
And then, of course, he didn't wait until the whole GBC approved. You know, I was already nominated, but I didn't wait until the GBC approved. Because at that time, the gurus were actually independent. You know, he said, well, I'm an acharya, I can make this decision on my own. You know, nowadays, of course, we have our sannyas minister, Palad Nanda Maharaj, and he's very strict and reviews all the candidates. Basically, as I joke, you have to be 85 years old, and he puts you on a 10-year waiting list.
If you're still alive.
You're still alive. And then maybe you'll get posthumous sannyas. Yeah, posthumous meeting. Same thing. So then, of course, he's not that strict. I joke with him all the time about this. But in those days, it was much easier. So, Pridananda Maharaj agreed. And of course, there was another one of my godbrothers who didn't make it as a sannyasi, but he's a nice devotee, Jagajivan, who also insisted on that day. And so in Lima, Peru, on this day, 1978, what's that? In 1978, we took sannyas, and then immediately, I mean, I didn't change my service, so to speak, but I was preaching all over South America, protecting Prabhupada's movement, and then eventually came back to North America, started some temples in North America, became GBC in North America, and that later on expanded to this area of the world, where I experienced new challenges. New and different challenges that I never expected. And the devotees are all nice here. And then also my preaching zone is in the South Pacific, United States. You know, it expanded. And to this day, my realization is, of course, that I'm a servant of Prabhupada and meant to serve his mission. And to this day, whenever I make a decision, I always ask myself, what would Prabhupada say if he was right here before me? Of course, Prabhupada is always with the disciple who's following the instructions. The disciple is never separated. A bona fide disciple, because a disciple means one who is disciplined. Prabhupada said, shash datu, that's the root. That means discipline. This discipline by the spiritual master. So what's that? Someone's asking a question? So someone who is actually disciplined by the spiritual master is a real disciple. Not simply one who has taken initiation. You know, we oftentimes think that I've become a disciple because I've taken initiation, or I've become a Brahmin because I have a Brahmin thread. Prabhupada said, if someone doesn't have Brahminical qualities and he's taken second initiation, you can call him a sacred thread holder. Of course, we shouldn't do that. I mean, we shouldn't go around calling up our God brothers and God says, hey, you're a sacred thread holder. You're a Brahma Bandhu, a Kali Yuga Brahmin. You know, I don't advise doing that with devotees because you might be committing some serious offenses in addition risking your life. If they're not actually a Brahmin, but anyway. So therefore, you know, one has to have the qualities. And so that's been my meditation, and that's how you can perceive if someone is actually a bona fide follower of Prabhupada, although some of the followers of Prabhupada, some of the initiated people who take initiation from Prabhupada left the movement. But someone who is actually a disciple of Prabhupada will dedicate his life and soul to Prabhupada's mission. That's actually the standard. And what is that verse I'm looking for? Samit Pani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. Yeah. So the standards of someone who is actually a bona fide guru, so that's the standard, that he's still a servant, samitpani. He's serving the spiritual master. Like trained up in the brahmacharya ashram, one is trained up to serve in a menial way. So a bona fide disciple always considered himself or herself a menial servant of the spiritual master. So that's, you know, that's my message for you all today. And then you go back to Godhead. Because Prabhupada is guaranteed. If you stick with Prabhupada, then Prabhupada is guaranteed that we will go back to Godhead at the end of this lifetime. And then, because Prabhupada is a pure devotee, Krishna is duty-bound to follow whatever Prabhupada says. So we have this ironclad guarantee. Like Krishna says to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, Kuntiya pratijanihi nami bhakta sanashati, that you should declare it boldly that my devotee will never perish. And Prabhupada explains that Krishna asks Arjuna to declare it because people may not trust Krishna if he simply says it. Because Krishna has this habit of being tricky and not always keeping his word. Like stealing things, fighting when he said he's not going to fight, or interfering in the battle of Kurukshetra when he says he's not going to interfere, and you know, dancing with other women in the middle of the night, you know, other men's wives in the middle of the night. You know, who's going to trust this guy? So, isn't it? But, it's interesting, Brandon Krishna's a guy, you know, but...
I was just going
to
say.
Interesting. Purusha, he's the original guy.
The original guy.
Adi Purusham, that means the original guy. So, and we're Prakriti. So anyway, so that's the point. To serve Prabhupada like that, and all of us are expected, as followers, as disciples, we're all disciples of Prabhupada, you know, very real sense, because we're a Siksha Sampradaya. Actually, not a Shiksha Sampradaya, someone said Shiksha. Siksha. Shiksha is that's Jewish. Anyway, so we're Sampradaya of instructing gurus, and Prabhupada's our founder Acharya. I mean, what I'd like to do with at this camp that's coming up is actually do a whole presentation of what founder Acharya means. I have this nice presentation from Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, and it would be good for the devotees to see that, to enhance their faith, strengthen their faith in Prabhupada. All right. That's it. With the other... 33 people. With the Vaishnavas... I'm not a Vaishnava, but would the Vaishnavas like to say something? I was going to say, with the other Vaishnavas, but there's... That would mean that I think I'm a Vaishnava. Which would be a no, isn't it? If I say, will the other Vaishnava? Madhidhanam Pavanagyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha.
Would like to come here today to this meeting? Good happening, or the good that happened 35 years ago is continuing to have its effect, so to say. And a lifetime of dedication to serving Srila Prabhupada and his community. That's often to see. I mean, there's, we were many disciples, and some, in one way, they all tried to give what they could. Then I'm there, but to actually be able to go on for a lifetime or continue, I mean, that's, I say, most admirable and appreciated. And I know Maharaj a little bit, I know so much, but I know something. I just know that he cares for the devotees. And that's maybe a thought is the Kalpataru, the desire tree, or I don't know, wish for fulfilling the desire tree, but I think of the trees. Okay, I like the trees. We have this. I like this. There's young trees and there's old trees and there's different kind of trees. But when the tree gets a little bit old, it gets a little bit bigger. The older tree gives shelter to the younger trees. That's what I want. Actually, in Sweden, at least, in order for the new trees to come up, there needs to be some, and it shouldn't be Look at all the trees, there's too much sunshine and the new plants can't really come up. So when there's some other older tree giving a little bit shade, then the new trees can come up in the shade of the older trees. And actually when they're growing up in that way, if there's not older trees, they may also grow up and they may grow up too quick. And there's not so good quality in the wood then. But when they grow under the shade of the older, then they grow a little bit slower in the beginning, so it gets better quality. And then later on, they will eventually also be big trees and give good shelter to others. And we know that the trees, there is so many animals, so many different species of life living in the old big tree on the bark and everywhere. So in that way, I'm saying the Vaishnavas are like, where the desire trees and the trees under which others can take shelter. So I see Maharaj as an example of that. And that is his caring for the devotees. I thought, I was hearing about Maharaj taking sannyas, but I'm a little bit different generation. to hear how he perceived the his beginning in Krishna consciousness and then reflecting on my own, but that's my reflections, I'd say. But it was the 70s, maybe were like that. They were more demanding. It was not so easy going, but at the same time, the devotees then they took it where you had to take it seriously, otherwise you couldn't go on. But those who took it, many of those who came then actually and stayed. Krishna Kshetra Prabhu is also there, and it's a little bit closer to me from Germany. And on beginning there was a temple, and it was quite austere and like that, but there was quite some gurus joining there, so to say. I mean, who later on came into that category. So that way, in case I like the tree allegory, keep that in mind. And then we know that the tree, we should be tolerant like a tree. And that's this tolerance. I have also witnessed the tolerance of dear Krishna Maharaj. I mean, difficult days, things like this. Tolerating you also, thank you. In any case, the trees are tolerant, and they are. You cut an arm, cut a branch of the tree, and the trees. Well, we don't see that they complain. In any case, new branches grow up, you cut more, and take the fruits, and offer the fruits. And when the tree is mature, also we know that in the Krishna book there is this story about Krishna describing Vrindavan and the trees there, how the trees were. He was walking with Balaram. Then Krishna pointed out how the trees were bending their branches to the ground as to like, touch his feet or paying their obeisances to Balaram. So that also, when the tree is full of fruit, then the branches go down. So in the same way, when we're full of knowledge, Krishna consciousness, we become humble and we go down. We don't. That's the greatness of the tree. When it grows full fruit, it actually grows down and becomes more humble. In the beginning, I'm a big devotee. Yes, I'm a devotee. Now we may ask, am I a devotee? What kind of a devotee am I? We some kind of devotee, but then obviously as we think. But we, any case, it's good to have seniors around. We any case put maybe us in a perspective so we can grow nicely. I thought also Srivastava's disappearance day and taking sannyas. Or in case it goes together in a way. But Ajahn Srivas Thakur had his Kirtan Melas in his house there in the nights, at least in the nights there. And they were entering into the mood and into the rasa of the chanting and of the, like that. So then, of course, taking sannyas, so one way you can see. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, you know, I'm not any of the varnas, I'm not any of the ashramas, I'm just a servant of the servant of the lotus seed to the Lord, who is the shepherd of the gopis. So at that point he said, I'm all this, we have this or that designation, but the point is that we should be servant of the lotus feet to the Lord. Well, servant of the servants of the lotus feet to the Lord, whether we are this ashram or that ashram. And then maybe I'd like to... Okay, so... So actually taking sannyas means to be absorbed in the service of the Lord with the body, mind, and words. So... Then we have in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 14, verse 3, starting with Pyane Praya Asam. I like that one. In the beginning, it took some years in my Krishna consciousness until I came in contact with that verse, but I appreciate it now because it gives a very nice picture of sannyas. It says, you know, don't give up in personal speculation. Stay where you are. Don't change ashram or position. You don't need to change anything. But we can say we change our attitude. We all, how do you say? We offer our respect to the narrations of the Lord, as spoken by the Lord and His devotees, with body, mind, and words, regardless of what ashram or position you're in. And that sometimes nowadays is difficult to understand. Some we know are married, and some we know with sannyas or brahmacharya, but others may not fully know where are they. But wherever you are, if you can dedicate body, mind, and words to the narrations of the Lord, the parts of the Lord, the philosophy of the Lord, or the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, in that sense, in one sense, that's sannyas. I mean, how is it? Krishna, in the 18th chapter, Arjuna asks, what is he asked in the beginning? He asks, what is renunciation and what's a renounced order of life? I think renunciation, it says, let's see, he says that you're renouncing the fruits of your actions. And then actually, that's renunciation. And then renounced order of life means that you renounce all fruitive activities. Of course, Krishna says then that some sages say that sacrifice, charity, and austerity should not be given up. Some say that that should be given up also, however, well, that is possible. One says there would be some austerity. But that's like a nice picture of sacrifice, charity, and austerity. This should not be given up. So we can practice sacrifice, as Prabhupada says in the purport, it's more for the brahmacharis and quite interesting in a movement, because the sankirtan yajna very much was done by the brahma in the old times, maybe nowadays also. This is the brahmacharis and the brahmacharinas. They're out in the front line making the sacrifice, distributing books, making kirtan, bhajans, harinam, like that. And then, maybe when you get entangled, you get married. I mean, then other things come in, responsibility, and it's not so easy to make that sacrifice in that way. But then Prabhupada said, there is a charity. Mm. Charity is a major focus. It should be charity. Charity should be. Prabhupada in one place he said, or someone said, that household or enjoying in a charitable mood. I want to enjoy for myself. Okay, you have some nice facilities. Well, then share it with others also. And then the tapas, the austerity stated. Prabhupada said there is for the vanaprastas and the sannyasis. Okay, so that way I thought in this age of Kali, what can we do? So we know there's an ocean of faults, but there's one good quality, that by the chanting the holy name we can very easily attain perfection with the love of Krishna. So that way it takes, whether we are sannyas or not, we should keep going chanting the holy name, appreciating the Lord. And of course, if someone takes some yes and can keep it, I mean, that's very, very wonderful. you can pray to Krishna, please bless me. We can go on, because it's not maybe not the most optional age for some diseases. In case ISKCON is interesting, because ISKCON, Prabhupada created a frame within. So much could happen, so it could happen and did happen. But maybe we see negative things happen, but it's in spite of all we could say negativity and difficulty, still this movement is going on. Mm. So I'm happy I'm here. With Maharaj as a Swami here. I'm Smita Krishna Swami. And in this movement and keep going. In this. Is it loving association? Okay, caring for the devotees, nice loving devotees here on the Balkans. Sorry.
Thank you very much.
How many years you are sannyasi Maharaj?
Yeah, I'm just a young sannyasi.
It's quite something.
Since 86, I don't know what number that makes. It makes 26. Yes.
26,
27.
Wow. It's
a young
one.
Congratulations.
He's
just a kid. He's a kid, yeah. Maybe we were lucky that we took some as a tattoo, you could take them. And I've got as nowadays it's become more difficult to take.
Yeah, it was easy.
Yes. So, and I hope it will work for the better.
You have to bribe blood animals. Doesn't work with that now.
You have to bribe in the proper way.
To do it.
Vaishnava.
Bribery.
Like Sanatana Goswami.
Yeah. The 8 gold coins.
Should I say something?
Yeah, he's a great Vaishnava. He's a transcendental Vaishnava. A Vaishnava
could be right.
A Vaishnava could be in any ashram. Kiva Vipra, Kiva Nyasi, Sujakina Narya, Krishna Tattva Veta, Se Guru Hoy. One knows the science of Krishna. Doesn't matter what ashram, because these ashrams are just external anyway. I mean, we sannyasis are enjoying more than all the other ashrams anyway. I was asked the other day, you know, would you like sannyas? I said yes, and actually it was Narayana who asked, why do you like about sannyas? I said, wherever you go, you get your feet bathed. You get a free pedicure everywhere, you know. and whatever you like to eat, you get. And you got so many people who write nice things about you. I mean, it's just like giving a family life. And I mean, joking aside, you actually get, all of us are actually in Prabhupada's family. So none of us are sannyasa in the traditional sense where you go to the forest or something like that, like Madhavendra Puri, and don't ask for food unless food comes and then Krishna provides the food. Maybe, but I mean, we're actually surrounded, all of us are actually in family life in Krishna consciousness because we're surrounded with a very loving, devotional family, isn't it?
Good point.
So it's not like the struggle was in previously. It's just, it's wonderful. I go places, it's like I'm visiting family members wherever I travel. I'm not going to the forest, I don't have to deal with snakes or anything like that.
Tigers
and snakes. Like Prabhupada said about, sannyasi, vaya shatvasham shri jnani yagarvasati. He said that's the quality of a sannyasi, has to be free of fear. I don't have to be afraid of anything, basically, except for death. But, you know, seriously, there's no wild animals. I mean, sometimes in the temple there's a few challenges, but basically it's not like before, because you have so many nice devotees. ISKCON's family, we're all brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and cousins and what have you, so it's not that difficult.
to be a sannyasi. If you serve Prabhupada, if you actually remain faithful to Prabhupada and have that determination that Prabhupada's pleasure is first and foremost. Do you understand? And then you have Prabhupada's family. I wouldn't give this up for anything. Isn't it? I mean, this is so nice. All right, I'm sorry I took your time. I just wanted to say that.
Nama Om Vishnu Vandaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prajavane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vashchate Sarane. So I also feel fortunate to be here on this special occasion of the 35th Sannyas anniversary. We have any excuse for a festival. No, I do feel fortunate and honored to be in Maharaj's company and also Maharaj's company. And I realized after I sat down here that I'm not following protocol. You should be here, I should be there, but Hare Krishna. We're all a family, right?
Yeah, we're family.
So,
he's more advanced.
Couple of thoughts about sannyas, maybe to throw into the mix, and we'll see what comes out. Many years ago, I was traveling in South India, and I met one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers at his ashram. Mm. And we got to talking. He was very nice Vaishnava, but at one point it sort of started to come out what he found problematic with ISKCON. And the thing that he found problematic that he expressed was Prabhupada gave sannyas to such young people, and this is not good. And by the time I had met this godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, it was indeed evident that it was a problem for some of those who had taken sannyas. So I didn't really have anything to say to him on that subject. I just sort of listened and offered respects. Some days or weeks later, I met one of our senior sannyasis, who, dare I say, is no longer a sannyasi. Mm. And I mentioned this to him. And he said, well, one time, Srila Prabhupada told him, this other former ISKCON sannyasi, that my godbrothers criticized me for giving sannyas to such young men. And then Prabhupada continued. He said, but what can I do? I have to spread this movement. Mm. And what he was saying by that is he felt he had to take that risk, knowing that some would not be able to continue the vows throughout their lives. Indeed, what Prabhupada showed, and I think this is one of the expressions of Srila Prabhupada's radically enlightened vision, is that when it did happen that a sannyasi fell away from their sannyas vows, he said, in any case, go on with devotional service. That has been indeed the case with some of the sannyasis. They've continued and done wonderful service in the family of Vaishnavas. At the same time, we have people look at the sort of dark side. Here and there, there have been some who have not been able to keep those vows. But we have really a very significant number of very senior devotees, sannyasis, who are still around 35 years later and going strong. Good grief. Maharaj is telling me he's going to go on a 15 to 20 kilometer walk tomorrow, chanting 64 rounds. If that's not healthy, I don't know what is. Going So it's actually a wonderful thing. I just happened to see a few days ago the list. There are over 90 sannyasis in our movement today. Mm. And they're all over the world. 90.
Yeah.
And there are another probably at least 10. So very soon it will be over 100 sannyasis in our movement. Continuing to do what Maharaj so much emphasized, to carry on Srila Prabhupada's mission. This is a wonderful and glorious thing. Now, there's other criticisms of sannyas from other angles. I have spoken with some members of the greater Vaishnava community in Vrindavan who say, sannyas, this is not part of the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. We don't take sannyas. Right? And of course, this was a householder who was telling me this. A senior, you know, priest at one of the renowned temples of Vrindavan. He said, we don't take sannyas. Actually, they do, even in that tradition. I found out later. The point is, there is this criticism. They say, in this age of Kali, there's a quote, which one lifetime maybe I'll memorize, which says there are certain things you don't do in Kali Yuga, and one of them is take sannyas. Well, to that, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's guru, once said that there are the four ages. And for each of the ages, there is an ashrama. Mm. And the ashrama for the age of Kali is sannyas. Yeah, Satya Yuga, Brahmachari, Treta Yuga.
Oh my God.
It's forever, it's funny, isn't it? Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur said that this is the age for sannyas. And if you think about it, taking the sense that both Maharajas have said, we are a family that one can serve Krishna in all ashramas, naham vipro nacha narapatir, etc., Lord Chaitanya says, then it makes sense that what Srila Prabhupada was doing in his mission was training up all of us in that spirit of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur. He expected all of us to be sannyasis, in the sense that body, mind, words, everything for Krishna. He actually expected that. And that's, I think, what's very special about the movement. Mm-hmm. And then those who are taking this kind of additional commitment, it's really a very significant thing to do, to take the sannyas vows. There's really no turning back. And it's putting oneself in a position where everyone is having expectations. Mm. Expectations of what? Especially of good, solid Krishna consciousness and representation of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. So, sannyas, although it's criticized, it's actually very much appropriate in our movement in both senses of the word, in the sort of formal way and in the broader sense. I think both of them combined make for a very nice Hare Krishna movement. Hare Krishna.
Good. Very nice. Okay.
Thank you all. And so we have 22 people in the room and 35 on the internet.
Wow, there's more people on the internet than in the room.
And they're in cyberspace.
Cyberspace. You know, I think Prabhupada would have appreciated this use of technology very much. Prabhupada,
I was in Los Angeles when devotees were showing Prabhupada some of the primitive technology that was present in 1975. We had probably one of the first computers that was for, was that the telex?
Telex machine.
The telex machine, and also this computer for typesetting.
Yeah.
Oh. Which they use these punch tape, you know, with holes in it and everything like that. But Prabhupada looked at all the technology. He didn't say it was bad, but he said, if you can't produce 17 books in 2 months, all this is useless. So the idea is that, that one shouldn't get addicted to technology. One should use it to spread Krishna. Like Prabhupada, I think Prabhupada was probably the first acharya to spend his money and to buy a tape recorder to record what he was doing. You know, Prabhupada bought one of those old reel-to-reel recorders, and one of them was stolen, actually, from Prabhupada's place. But Prabhupada was very much into, you know, utility is the principle, is what Prabhupada said. You know, preaching is the essence, utility is the principle, purity is the force, and books are the basis. So Prabhupada was very much into this yukta vairagya, doing whatever is necessary. And just one other thing about sannyas, like Prabhupada did say that when he gave sannyas to the devotees, he called it a field promotion. A field promotion. I'll explain what that means. I talked a little bit about that this morning. That means when you're in the field and the enemy's shooting you down and you don't have any leader, well, you know, you're in the battlefield, in the middle of the battle, you have to promote people who may not have been promotable back at the at university, at the military college, you know, military academy or military college. Yeah. So because we're at war, Prabhupada did that, and then, you know, you expect casualties. But when you're at war, Prabhupada said not to be surprised at who leaves, but be surprised at who stays. So we've had a lot of very, very strong devotees who stay and remain faithful to Srila Prabhupada's movement. And, you know, this is the important thing and also not to be proud of one's particular ashram status, just always remember that one's a servant of Srila Prabhupada, and take every position as an opportunity to serve the other Vaishnavas and to serve Prabhupada. That's yukta vairagya. Don't take it as an opportunity to enjoy. Like Prabhupada even said, so many stalwarts fell down in the name of Mahaprasadam. So we should always be taking every facility, opportunity we have to please Krishna and please Prabhupada. So I guess what happens now? We take prasadam? Enjoy? Yeah. Do you know the number of Prabhupada had when he left?
I heard something over 120.
No. Not that many. It was somewhere around 30. 30 to 40, yeah. I don't remember the exact number. Palladananda Maharaj, who has a brain like a computer, can tell you all these details when he comes. You'll see him at the camp. I mean, he is so intelligent. I'm so proud of him as a godbrother that he has every single devotee he's ever done a horoscope for, the whole horoscope memorized in his mind.
I can attest to that.
Yeah. I mean, I asked him the other day, you know, where's this planet, where's that planet? He just went, and without looking at his computer, he said, well, you're going through this period, in a few more days you're going to go through that period, and then your Mars is in this house and that. And I said, what about this devotee who's having some trouble? Well, this is in that house and this is in that house, and you watch out for him, you better speak to him. I said, huh? I told him, I said, you lost me 10 minutes ago. So, I mean, what's that?
He knows many books.
Yeah, he's a remarkable. I mean, just look at my godbrothers here, like Krishna Shetaprabhu and Smita Krishnamaraj. I mean, I'm so proud to have godbrothers like I have. I mean, they're just amazing personalities. I mean, me, you know, I'm like a mouse. Or like a frog or something. But these are great personalities who are, you know, just so happy to have them as my brothers, and, you know, I have my sisters too, you know. And like one of the, just one plug. I have one devotee that I've sponsoring to become a guru. She's a lady. Her name is Narayani. And she has the whole Bhagavatam memorized. Every verse. And she's, every verse of the Bhagavatam. And she's one of the few people authorized to teach the Bhaktivedanta course.
I mean, these are really amazing people that we have in our Krishna consciousness movement. I mean, me, I can hardly remember the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You know, I have to read it every morning. But, I mean, joking aside, I mean, I'm just amazed. I mean, you know, and then I was talking about Hrinay Nandamaraj. Prabhupada said he had transcendental intelligence. I mean, his ability to analyze, like we were talking about this whole jiva issue. You know, where does the jiva come from? Does he come from Croatia? Or from the Balkans or from America? You know, where does the jiva come from? I mean, he was able to analyze, you know, the Sanskrit and in such a way that's just like, it's overwhelming. I mean, so look at these devotees we have in our movement. It's just like they're amazing personalities. I mean, really amazing. Isn't it? I mean, I could just go down a list of some of my godbrothers. I mean, you know, some of whom have passed away, like Bhakti Tirthamar, is just an amazing personality. I mean, so loving and so intelligent, so devoted, and, you know, strong like a kshatriya sometimes and soft as a rose other times. And then devotees who risk their lives, like Krishna Chaturvedi preaching in the Eastern European countries, isn't it?
Not risking.
Yeah, oh, risking life, risking whatever, freedom. I mean, preaching in country, previously, I mean, devotees would go and just
devotees hop. Here were risking their lives.
Yeah, during the wars.
Yeah.
I mean, and hopping from one train to another, these devotees just to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books in Eastern Europe. I mean, it's just amazing. We have heroes. We have real heroes in our Krishna consciousness movement. So we should thank Krishna for all these great devotees who are just serving Prabhupada in a causeless way, you know, just, it amazes me, and I'm embarrassed to be in their association. Because they're actually devotees. Whereas, you know, one day, hopefully by their mercy, I'll be a devotee. So what happens now? Prashad. Bhajan? No, something soft. There's something for Shana for this lady. How many people watch you now?
I don't know.
By putting out, of course, I do have over 5,000 friends on Facebook. That helps. I have two pages, you know. A Facebook personal page and a fan page. See, I'm so full of false ego that I start my own fan page and send out invitations. Become my fan.
38,000.
Okay, we'll just chant a short one and then hit the road.
Oh,
back to work, Semper Prasad. So, thank you very much, all you in TV land. 44? We should keep going. Okay. So, there's prasad for the devotees?
Thank you
all for coming. I feel honored.
For coming.
Blessedness.